You're listening to healthradio.fm. I am with somebody that I actually really, I know who you are. I love what you do, Brad King. You are a person that a lot of people look up to in the health and wellness industry. Thank you for being on our show. I'm looking at your new book. It's called Dirty Diets. And, you know, up until the last 10 years, I've, you know, typical 20-year-old, I've dieted my entire life. Why Dirty Diets for this title?
Well, you know, first of all, I look at it in terms of clean foods, which a lot of people can really understand, or they think they can understand that clean foods maybe are organic foods, foods that really wouldn't impact you in a negative manner. They would be a little more positive on your physiology and your biochemistry. I look at foods in terms of how do they impact the hormonal environment within the body, which in turn impacts the enzymes which control all of the reactions of how we look, how we feel, how we perform, and even how we think. So in Dirty Diets, I talk about clean foods, murky foods, which are foods you shouldn't really be eating all the time, but you can have them once in a while, and then dirty foods, which is foods you should really be avoiding like the plague. And the whole book really surrounds how effective you are or ineffective you are at using your own body fat stores for energy. A lot of people send the wrong hormonal messages to their cells because of the wrong types of foods, because of the environment in which they live in, meaning what do they allow into their lives? Are they positive individuals? Are they negative individuals? And then their lifestyle factors. Are you someone who is lazy? Do you plop in front of a television set when you come home late at night after work? Or do you do positive things? Do you maybe go to bed a little earlier, get up a little earlier, work out, move your body on a regular basis? All of these things will impact the hormones, the enzymes, and then the end result would be hopefully using your own body fat as energy so that you are a completely different person. And Dirty Diets exposes all the things we think are good but are not so good for us. All the lies we've been told, especially over the last 40, 50, maybe even 60 years, really since 1977, we've been told things that are lies, like fat foods are making us fat and they're creating cardiovascular disease. We know that to be a lie now. You know, all of that information was based on primarily one researcher by the name of Dr. Ansel Keys, who in the 1950s did some studies, and they worked out in his favor. But since then, there's been a lot of other research that nobody's really been hearing about. So the book is all about that, and the good weight on our bodies. A lot of people still weigh themselves, which tells us absolutely nothing about our present condition. So we have to differentiate where weight is on the body. Is it good weight? Is it bad weight?
Okay, 1 second. I believe in not weighing yourself. What do you mean good weight? Like, talk to the women out there.
Yeah, well, and here you go, because 1/3 of women are dieting right now, as you and I are just having this conversation. And how do women gauge their success or failure on yet another diet? And first of all, what is a diet? A diet is a short-term solution to a lifelong problem. The lifelong problem is called obesity. We don't even call them diets. We call them fad diets because we can only stay on them for such a limited period of time. So they don't really work with our physiology or our biochemistry. And for women need to hear that you do have good weight on your body, and that is your skin, that's your hair, that's your nails, that's your eyes, that's your muscular system, your skeletal system, your organs, everything else in the body. The only bad weight is the excess, and I do say excess because you do need a certain amount of fat on your body. You have fat that encompasses and becomes part of every single one of your 100 trillion cells. Every one of us is a fat head, or we hope we are, because 60% of the dry weight of the human brain is fat. The rest of the fat becomes burdening to the system because it creates inflammatory messages, which are behind or at least part of almost every single disorder we know of. So bad weight, excess body fat, good weight, lean muscle tissue.
And what is, you know, a proper weight for anybody? I mean, the other day, I got on the scale for the first time in many, many years, and I saw my husband go, oh my gosh, I would have thought that you were like 115 pounds, and my good body weight is 140,
yes.
Which sounds huge, but I'm a thin person with 140. Why? And I'm taller, but why do people get so wrapped up about scales and weights?
I'll tell you, because from the time you are young enough where your parent brings you to the doctor, what do they do? they weigh you and they go, ooh, that's fantastic. Or oops, this person, you know, this child's not eating enough and this is what you do. And, you know, we don't understand that when we're kids, but we try to emulate our parents and we look to them for rewards. Are we doing the right thing? Are we not doing the right thing? Are we healthy? Are we not healthy enough? So I think we gauge everything from the time we're little enough to understand anything on a bathroom scale. And, you know, when I wrote my first book, Fat Wars, 13 years ago, in that book, I told people to throw away their bathroom scales because it tells you absolutely nothing about your present health status.
You can look at the way you physically look in a mirror or the way you feel, I guess, supposed to know how you're doing. Let's talk about enzymes. It's a big topic. What do you want to talk about as far as enzymes?
Well, when I talk about enzymes, I mean, you know, we can talk about dietary enzymes, and I think there's a lack thereof. We're not getting them in the foods because a lot of us are not eating really the fresh produce, especially the organic produce. So there's that whole topic of enzymes, which are catalysts, which speed a reaction and help break down things like foods. And then you look at biological enzymes. You look at the enzymes that are produced within the human body. This is what I talk about in Dirty Diets because the clean foods will take care of the problem of the lack of enzymes because they usually contain a lot of natural enzymes. When you talk about biological foods, you and I were having a little conversation about biological aging before we went on. And one of the things that happens, people are so in tune with things like antioxidants, you know, and free radicals. Even though a lot of people may not understand what these things are, they know antioxidants are good and they may, you know, they may protect the body in some way, and they know free radicals are just bad because they're toxic metabolites. What we don't understand is the human body produces its own enzymatic system, which are called antioxidant enzymes, and they're thousands of times more powerful than vitamin A or vitamin C or vitamin E or lipoic acid or any other antioxidant that we know of. We produce things with really long names like glutathione peroxidase and methionine reductase and so on and so forth. But these are produced because of the foods that we eat that form these antioxidant enzymes. So that's one way we can slow aging is by eating cleaner foods because the body is more encouraged to produce natural enzymes that actually protect the body against premature aging.
So are we taking enzymes through our food to help produce more enzymes, or how is that working?
Well, it's interesting because the minerals that we take in, and we don't get a lot of minerals, unfortunately, because they're just not found in the majority of the soil. And I'm just going to give a plug to a company if I can. This is not my company. I don't speak directly to the company, but it's a product that I use because it's an example of what we're talking about today. The product is called Leaf Source. The website is leafsource.com if people want information. But Leaf Source is an organic mineral matrix formula. And this is what makes it so important. Anything that are like organic mineral matrix formulas, minerals help to form the enzymes in the body. So without the minerals, we can't form those enzymes and they can't function effectively. And the thing is, we don't have the same mineral content in the soils because we're not growing the fruits and the vegetables the same way, which is another reason why you want to embrace more organic. And if you go back millions of years ago, there was this substance that started to evolve in the earth that allowed the earth to hold a lot of these elements, these minerals, which are inorganic by nature, and allowed them to get into the plant system much more effectively. That's called humic acid, humic and fulvic acid. That's not found in the majority of these foods that we're eating either. And that's what's in these products like Leaf Source, this humic fulvic acid that contains 60 to 70 organically bound trace minerals that now encourage the body to make its own enzymes.
So rather than taking a supplement for enzymes, you're saying the minerals can help us produce enzymes in our own bodies naturally.
Yes, but we're talking about more of the metabolic enzymes now. So when you're talking about digestive enzymes, like the proteases that break down protein and the lipases that break down things like fat, those come from the foods themselves. That's why when you go to a health food store and you ask for dietary enzymes because you may have some kind of a gastrointestinal situation going on, they'll give you usually plant-derived enzymes, which are, you know, there's all different varieties. Some are better better than others. So those are good, and those come from cleaner foods and raw foods for the most part. But when we talk about things like a biological enzymes, because, you know, my book is called Dirty Diets. It's about obesity, and it's about allowing your body to use more fat for energy. So this is not just people who have a propensity to store fat. This is people that don't feel very well, don't think very well, have that brain fog. They're locking away the currency of energy, which is fat. And by encouraging your biological enzymes through the foods that you eat and taking supplements like this leaf source I'm talking about, what you're doing is you're creating the right enzymes which stimulate that fat to be released and become an energy source for the body. And this is what's missing in our society.
Let's talk about cravings. Yeah. I don't have them anymore because even though someone told me my insides look like I'm 67, I actually do eat really well, and I exercise sometimes, but I do eat well. And I don't have cravings because of that. What triggers cravings in the average person?
Well, before we go there, I don't know if anyone listening has actually seen you, but you are a hottie. It's okay to say that, right?
So sure.
I don't care, you know.
Here I turn red again.
How old someone says you are biologically, I'm looking at you and you know what I'm saying?
I'm a catch because I'm going to die soon. I have an inheritance, so whatever.
Yeah, well, I'll marry you then.
Great.
So, you see, now you got
Look at I'm all red now. Okay, I said about, cravings.
Cravings. So cravings ensue because of three primary reasons. Number one, we're not getting the right nutrients. And some of the research is showing that we, through some primitive mechanism, we are led to the types of foods that contain the missing elements of, you know, what's missing within the human body. Here's a good example. A woman going through a monthly cycle, usually at that time during the woman's cycle, she's very deficient in magnesium. What do women really crave around their monthly cycles? And it's not men.
It's definitely not men. It's either chocolate or salt.
There you go. Chocolate contains some of nature's highest sources of magnesium. So that's just one example. Another reason why we have cravings is because we have brain chemical imbalances. A lot of us have very low levels of a happy chemical in the brain called serotonin. If you don't believe me, you just have to look at the number one prescription medication, which is for depression. Antidepressant medications are called selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drugs, Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Meridian. And what they do is they're supposed to recycle serotonin, where we really don't have enough of the building block of serotonin, which is an essential amino acid called tryptophan. Tryptophan's not found in very high levels in most protein-containing foods. And if we're stressed out, here's the key, most of us are stressed out because perception equals reality. So even if you're worried about something and it's not real, it's still creating the same stress response. You create enzymes, once again, which eat up tryptophan to make other substances, and the brain now has to crave very sweet foods in order to temporarily raise those serotonin. So that's number two. Number three, blood sugar imbalances. This is a big one too. So when we constantly, let's say we do have imbalances within that brain chemical, well, the brain knows instinctually it's always going to take care of what it needs first. And what happens is it's going to crave very sweet and starchy foods because it knows when you eat those foods, you're going to stimulate insulin. And guess what? You're going to raise that feel-good chemical in the brain. But by stimulating insulin, you push the blood sugar eventually down and you keep it down for a very long period of time. And then the brain says, hey, what happened to my fuel source, which is sugar? And it craves even more sugar.
Why are people more unhappy today than they were 20 years ago? Why is everyone taking, except for me, I'm not. Yeah. And I'm sure Jackie, my producer, is not either. But why are people taking antidepressants more today than they were 20 years ago?
I think because we're looking to others to fix our internal problems. You know, we're as if a doctor knows how to make us happy by prescribing a pill. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense because the majority of these medications don't work nearly as well as something called exercise, which I know probably a lot of your listeners don't even want to hear about. But that's a fact. The majority of us suffer from hypokinesis. It's this horrible disorder that means we're lazy. We don't do anything. You know, we've got two arms and two legs. Guess what? We're given these things for a reason.
But young kids are lazier than, you know, the rest of us. I don't know why.
Because of us. because once again, they're copying us. You know, why is it? Why does the obesity research show that if you have an obese parent in your family, you have a much greater ability to become obese as an adult? What if you have two obese parents in your family? You may have over an 80% chance of becoming obese. Is that because that's built into our DNA? I don't think so. I think it's because we learned what to do wrong from our parents, and they learned the same thing from their parents. It's nature versus nurture. So we have to become proactive, and we have to become responsible for our very own health. We have to stop going to this person that we think is going to answer all of our questions, which is called a doctor, and just whatever that doctor tells us we're going to do. I don't know about you. If I went to a doctor and the first doctor said, oops, something's not right within your system, we need to cut something out of you, I wouldn't just go, okay, doc, go ahead, cut it out. You're a doctor. You know what you're talking about. I would be like second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth opinion.
But a lot of people, and I go right back to my uncle who just had lymphoma, and I had lined up for him a naturopathic doctor who was first a practicing medical doctor, who was an emergency doctor, to take care of him and work with him in conjunction with his regular doctors. And when one of the doctors found out that he was seeing a naturopath, he was called at home and threatened that it's amazing to me.
There's a word for that. It's called fear-mongering. And that's all it is. It's fear. And the medical establishment has really nothing to fear because they are the end-all and the be-all of everything in the majority of the public's eyes. You know, if you are a medical doctor, man, you are almost a god within North America anyway. And we have to understand that this is a relatively early form of medicine. I should say it's a late form of medicine. You know, traditional Chinese medicine has been around a lot longer. Homeopathic medicine has been around for over 200 years. I mean, why not embrace all modalities? You know, doctors take an oath, and that oath is to first do no harm. Well, if you really know that, you really believe that, wouldn't you do a little more homework on the majority of medications before you prescribe them instead of just sitting back and going, oh, I didn't know that this pill killed 60,000 people a year? You know, we need to do a little more homework, and this is why I'm saying, we can't just believe blindly in what a government body tells us, what the CDC tells us, what a doctor tells us. We need to, in this day and age, there's enough information that's available to us to do our own research. And, you know, at the end of the day, we should be responsible for that.
My last question, and I do hope you come on our show again in the future because I love talking to you. Why are so many people getting so sick? I'm in my 40s and I am going to a funeral next week for somebody who is in their 40s. Why the prevalence of cancer and a lot of illnesses today?
Well, I think our immune system, for the most part, is depressed. There's a lot of environmental factors that are going on. I write about this in Dirty Diets. There's about 600 billion pounds of synthetic chemicals that were never part of our evolutionary existence. These are xenoestrogenic with an X, meaning they're kind of like estrogen, but they're very weak. But they have a cumulative reaction in the body. And Cornell University has actually gone on record to say that probably about 40% of worldwide deaths can be blamed on environmental problems, environmental toxins. So that's one thing. I think another thing is the stress that we allow into our lives. Mark Twain said it best. He said, I've been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. So we create the stress response. Stress is fear. That's all it is. So we can choose to accept that fear or realize that it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It probably will never come true. Hopefully none of the stress comes true because some of the stuff we conjure up in our minds is pretty horrific. Yeah. So I think, and anytime you have excess stress, you have excess cortisol. That's a premier stress hormone. Anytime you have excess cortisol, you have a depressed immune system. You can't have two operating at the same time.
Where can people find your new book, Brad King, called Dirty Diets?
They can find it online at dirtydiets.com, and they can find me on Facebook, where I actually interact with the public, at Brad King Health on Facebook.
You are so awesome. Thanks for joining us today on Health Radio.fm.